Hello and welcome to Really Cool People, a podcast produced by Switzer Church. I'm your host, Jason Linear. This is a place where we get to hear stories of really cool people. The hope is that in hearing these stories, you and I will be inspired, encouraged, and challenged through moments of serendipity, through their sharing of their own lives. In a sermon entitled The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis said, "There are no ordinary people. You and I have never met a mere mortal." It's my joy over the next few moments to introduce you to someone who on the outside may seem pretty ordinary, especially to themselves, and yet they're a really cool person. Today, it's my joy and honor to introduce you to Mary Mannix Decker. I was privileged to work with Mary at Switzer Church for about 6 years as she served as the chief financial officer here. Mary has a life, and she'll share it, that was marked by traveling, by the strong influence of her parents, having a really successful career, and having some pretty awesome kids. And she'll also share about the journey and the challenge she's facing right now. As she was recently diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. She speaks with much grace, and so I'm so glad you've joined us, and I invite you to listen in along with me to Mary Decker. Well, today we're happy to welcome Mary Decker. So Mary, welcome, and let's start with your story.
Thanks, Jason. I guess it makes sense to start from when I was young. I am the youngest of four children and was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Shortly after that, we moved to Houston, Texas, where we lived for 7 years. Traditional family, so with four kids, there was a lot going on. I grew up in a Catholic home, and those values were instilled in us from a very young age. And I would say my parents were on the liberal side of the Catholics, but very devoted. And I think, was formative for all of us in our family. The unique thing about my family, from the time I was seven, we moved about every 2 years for my father's job. He worked for Exxon his entire career, but every couple of years, we pretty much count on it, we would move. And they were pretty big moves. We would move from Houston to New York. We lived overseas twice, back to Houston, kind of a circuit that we made. And I was the youngest, so I made every single one of those moves. I went to three different high schools, graduated from high school in Tokyo, Japan. And a question I often get, or I will tell that story and people will say, "Oh gosh, that must have been hard." It really wasn't hard. It was just the life I was used to, and I didn't know anything different. And I enjoyed the adventure of it. To this day, I enjoy change, loved living overseas. So to me, the moving was exciting. It was hard at times. You know, you get used to kind of that first day of school where you're the new person. It's hard to change school districts like that and kind of stay on top of where you were, your strong areas of study and you're not so strong. But overall, I really enjoyed that. So we did that, graduated from high school in Tokyo. I came back to the United States and went to college in San Antonio, Texas at Trinity University. And I studied economics. My first job was in banking with the Federal Reserve Bank, and very interesting, and a lot of trivia and not so important facts I learned that I remember to this day. And after I was in banking, when I moved here to Springfield, I worked in local government. So we can go more to that later. Mm-hmm. I have two children, Christine and Jonathan. Daryl and I have been married 20 years. And with that marriage, welcomed two more kids. So we have a blended family, Sarah and David. And I have two wonderful son-in-law, daughter-in-law, one of each, Nathan and Maddie, and two grandchildren, Eleanor and Bennett. So the family I started out with of two has grown, and that has been a real joy. Daryl and I were married 20 years ago. I think it surprised many people when we got married. If you know Daryl and you know me, you know we have probably different political views. Let's just say we don't use the same news sources. But that's a small difference when you look at the important things that you look for in a spouse that you want to have, that you want to have with a lifelong partner. Daryl's been wonderful. So we were married 20 years ago at Schweitzer, actually. And it has been a wonderful 20 years. I started to say I kind of switched from banking in my career to local government and finance. And I really enjoyed that. It was where I spent most of my career. I'm one of those people that likes numbers. And I tell people numbers tell a story. And I like discovering what that story is and sharing it in a way that is meaningful to other people. Because sometimes people look at numbers and they're like, oh, it's just too much. But there's really something there. So that's kind of what I've done with my career. And especially in local government, you have the opportunity to finance projects or work on things that you see implemented and improving your community. So that really made a difference for me. I worked in government for almost, 25 years, and then had a really unexpected but wonderful opportunity to join the staff at Schweitzer. And I think that was almost like the crowning jewel of my career. Using, a lot of what I had loved doing and developed during my career, but then with a whole new focus on ministry, on God, on people. And that was just wonderful. So I am very grateful for the time I spent here at Schweitzer. And it has, I think, really changed the way I approach things, I look at things. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
Well, as someone who got to work alongside of you, it's a real privilege to then sit down and hear a fuller sense of your story. It's amazing how you can, I've heard a number of these things, but then there's a number of things that I haven't heard along the way, even as we got to work together. And so it's fun to hear these things. About your childhood, about moving all those times, did you ever leave something behind inadvertently that you've missed over the years?
That's a really good question. I can't think of anything. My mom was, I didn't think about it then, but looking at it now, what she did to move that often with all of our things. And a lot of times when people moved overseas, they didn't take their furniture or their household goods with them, but we did. And so it was like we always had our home and the things that make that home, whether it's your bed that you're accustomed to, or the family pictures, or that sofa that you sit on every day when you come home from school. All of that was really consistent in our lives. Now, that being said, she made us clean our closets out every year. there was not a lot of extra stuff that we took. But I can't ever remember particularly leaving anything behind. I think the interesting part of it was that each time we'd move, one of my older siblings would have started in college. So we often moved with one less child in the family. And that was, it was kind of hard because the family dynamics always changing. And my oldest sister, Anne, went to college when I was 9 years old. And and I'm sure it was difficult for them too, because then your parents live in a different place than where you grew up. But I still have a very close relationship with my siblings. I think that's the gift that my parents gave all of us.
It's a special gift.
It is.
Yeah. I got to have the joy of meeting Anne this summer, and she was telling stories on you. And It's always dangerous to have someone, your siblings, tell stories.
I didn't think about that when I put you in contact with her, Jason.
That's part of the, part of the comedy of life, and having close siblings who certainly appreciate you, and that's one of the things she deeply shared is her appreciation of you.
Story she probably told you was I was not good at math as a child, right?
Right. Yeah.
So to think I ended up in a career where I deal with numbers all the time.
Yeah.
But I look at that more of a function of moving as much as we did, and school districts are different from one place to another. But yeah, secret be told, I had to go to summer school to learn how to multiply.
And then you ran the finances for us, city.
Yes,
in Southwest
a lot of
Missouri.
Digits on their budget. So I overcame that.
So any kids out there listening, you know, you too, if you struggle with math, you may end up running a city's budget.
Budget, yes.
Fun things. As you think about your parents moving and the gifts that they gave you, were there any and then your upbringing in faith and everything, there are two or three things that they really emblazoned upon your own spirit and that you carry with you still to this day?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the three things were very consistent. And so I think that is one reason they're so formative. The first was generosity. And my father and mother were always impressing upon us the importance of giving, the importance of sharing financial resources that you had. And they not only talked about that, but they demonstrated that. And that was from the time I was very young to the time that I got older. And often my father would kind of look into structural issues that were contributing to poverty at the time, working with organizations. So that was very formative in our upbringing. And I think that's for not only me, but my sister Anne and my Jane and John, my other brothers and sisters. The other thing with moving, there was a deep appreciation for other cultures. And when we moved, it's not like we moved to a military base. We lived in the local community. And always impressed upon us that this is a different culture. It's got a lot that we need to learn from, that we can value, you know, that has value, and not anything to judge against how our culture compares to this. So it was something to be appreciated, something that we could learn from, something that we could recognize, but nothing that we would ever, gosh, they shouldn't do it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, not a lot of judgment there.
Yeah.
And so that was wonderful. That was a wonderful gift. To this day, I love traveling. I will eat about anything anyone puts in front of me. I love international foods. I love learning about culture. And change is kind of exciting to me.
Yeah, and you picked up some other artifacts too. Or an appreciation for other artifacts, too.
Yes, I learned to love art during that time. And that was something my dad and I shared. When we lived in Tokyo, almost every Sunday, we would go see an art exhibit. And Tokyo has wonderful art, both Japanese art and as an international art center. And he would either find an exhibit or a film for us to do every Sunday. And that was our Sunday afternoon. And I gained an appreciation and love for art, and still today have some of the things that my parents bought are in my house. And I can remember spending, I don't know, $50 on my first piece of artwork in Japan. So, and then I think the third thing is the gift I said is the gift of our family. Mm-hmm. And so those three things, I think I carry with me, and it was some of those certainly I can pass on to my children, but some of it was the uniqueness of the situation I was growing up in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, those are great gifts.
They are gifts, and I often say that you pass on values, both spoken and unspoken.
Yes.
Yeah. And
sure do. You said your first job out of college was in the with the Federal Reserve Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said you've got like a all kinds of trivia related to that.
Oh yeah.
What are a few trivia points about the Federal Reserve?
You know, each Federal Reserve Bank has a number, and if you look on the number, like Kansas City, you can look on your currency, and it will have, like, it comes out of the Kansas City Fed, and the number 10 will be underneath it, things like that.
Uh-huh.
To show you how old I am, I started working with the Federal Reserve just when direct deposit was coming out, and that was one of the first things I worked on. Used to know how you could pick up a piece of money and determine if it needed to be shredded or not.
What's the determining factor on that?
Well, you can see through it and if it, you know, has any body left in it.
Okay.
And that was back in the day when currency was much more prevalent. But, and then I've certainly spent plenty of time reading those Federal Reserve economics newspapers. So that was the geek thing about it.
When did you stop reading the Federal Reserve economics
paper? I really haven't stopped.
Oh, man.
Really never have. I still like to look at them. And the Federal Reserve of St. Louis actually has some very interesting reading on their website.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there anything you remember recently that you would point people to go read?
Not recently. I read them a lot when I worked for the city and trying to forecast what the future looked like, because the city here is very dependent on sales tax.
Uh-huh.
So, and, but actually my very first job was lifeguarding and teaching swimming lessons.
Wow.
Yeah. Figured out from, I started teaching swimming lessons when they had Red Cross free lessons at the neighborhood pool.
Okay.
And I figured out if I did that, there would be one or two or three parents that would then want private lessons for their kids. So I would say it wasn't truly a volunteer activity. It was actually something I did to further my summer income.
That's one of the things I always appreciate about you, Mary. When you were working on staff here, you'd find some extra revenue or some extra money somehow. And so that goes back a long ways.
It goes back a ways.
So, and you had two kids. And what was that like being a mom? Like having a career and being a mom?
Yeah, it was challenging. My two kids are 21 months apart. And so very close. I was married at the time to someone who traveled, so I was at home a lot with the kids, and we lived south of Ozark. I worked in Springfield and had a 45-minute commute to work. So my life was really busy, and I look back on those times and think that I would do it differently now. I think maybe all of us, when we look back on parenting things, have, you know, would mm-hmm. do that a little bit differently. And my daughter or son, sometimes Jonathan or Christine, will ask me about something. And I'm like, honestly, I just don't remember. It was so busy and I was so tired. And that is one thing when I look at my kids and their spouses, I think this generation is much better about boundaries, about where work stops and family life starts. And I didn't really have those. And I liked the work I did. I'm not going to say I'm driven to work. I worked hard, but that's just kind of in my nature. But I really should have kind of drawn some firmer boundaries there. It was a different time too. It was a time when there weren't a lot of women in the workforce, particularly in the area that I was working in. So that, I think, was some unspoken pressure. My sister Anne and I have talked about that, about how that was at that time. I can tell you a story. When I worked for the Federal Reserve, it was in Texas, and I went to, was invited to a reception. They just kind of invite the newbie. And the state treasurer was there, who was Ann Richards at the time. She later became the governor of Texas. Very outspoken, very vibrant woman. And I was maybe 24 at the time. And she came over to me after I'd been in the room about 10 minutes. And she said, "You and I are the only two women in the room." And she said, "That needs to change with your generation." Mm-hmm. So it was a difficult time. It was, of course, an enjoyable time. You love seeing your kids grow up. But balancing it, I would do a little bit different if I did now than I would do it now differently. Mm-hmm. For about 5 years, I was a single mom. So that had a whole nother set of challenges with it. My kids are great. They are happy, well-adjusted, successful kids. Don't tell them. I guess they'll hear that. No, I'm very proud of my kids. And so it was, it was a fulfilling time. And it's like a lot of things that you look back on and you think, gosh, I could have done this different or I could have done this better. But we were busy. They were active, very active in sports during that time. So a lot of driving back and forth and, just keeping them on track. So. Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere in there, you met Daryl.
I did, yes.
And you described that relationship as, you said, if people know you well, they may be surprised that the two of you. So what brought you together?
So Daryl and I worked together initially. And we worked together at Greene County when Daryl was a commissioner. I was the budget officer. And I left Greene County and went to work for the city of Springfield. And during the time that I had left, Daryl's wife, Susan, passed away from cancer. And I was single at that time. And I don't really know what happened. He called me and asked me out to lunch. We used to go to lunch frequently when we worked together, take turns paying. And he called and said, "I think I remember it's your time to pay and take me out to lunch." So we did that, and we've always had a great relationship when we work together. And so the lunches kind of happened more frequently. We spent a day in Kansas City going to the art museum in Kansas City. And then he decided that he should ask me to get married. And that was like, no, I just really don't think so. But he was kind of persistent. And, being divorced, you proceed carefully after that. And I certainly wanted to be certain that I was going into a very stable relationship. And, I mean, you're just a little fearful, right, mm-hmm. of your experience. And so I was being very cautious, and he continued to be very persistent. And it was a time that I prayed, and I do feel like that I prayed about what to do, and clearly the sense, the direction, the word I got from God, the feeling was, this is going to be a wonderful relationship, so move forward. And it has been. Somebody, that was back in the day at Schweitzer, Joe Cruz married us. And they used to put weddings in the bulletin at that time. And someone I worked with said, "Someone told me you and Daryl got married. I didn't believe it, but then I saw it in the Schweitzer bulletin." So here we are.
So you said that you don't listen to the same political news sources.
Oh, no, we don't.
So how have you managed? I mean, the last, especially the last 10 years have been very problematic.
They have, yeah.
For the country as a whole. Mm-hmm. So how have the two of you managed to like stand this cohesiveness, joyful cohesiveness.
I think the main thing is that I think a lot of what's happened in the country is people are kind of struggling here on what that might be. People don't feel like, I'm going to retract here. Daryl and I have our differences. We respect each other. And even though we have those differences, we don't, I mean, who Daryl votes for president is not going to affect how much I love him. Mm-hmm. And we can have those discussions, I think, on some of the key issues we agree. But it's not a sense of one of us has to keep arguing till the other one sees their point. Mm-hmm. It's like those are differences. And I think when we talk about how, you know, our faith, how we believe it's important to be civil and listen to each other, mm-hmm. that it's okay to have differences. He doesn't have to think like I think. But at the end of the day, that doesn't make any difference on how we treat each other or what we do together or what kind of friends we have. Differences make up our world and they make variety, and that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I've learned some things from him and he's learned some things from me, and some of those viewpoints have changed over time, but it isn't what defines us. Mm-hmm. What defines us is our love for each other.
Yeah. You've spoken some about your faith in lots of different places and talked about how you're born into a Catholic family. And how did that, and for all of us, I mean, whether regardless of what kind of branch of the church we mm-hmm. are born into, the faith that's around us has to become our own. What was your faith journey like?
I remained Catholic up until my 40s. My children went to the Catholic schools here up through middle school. And I said my parents were kind of the liberal Catholic side. My father was always sending me things to read and different things like that. And so it was a very active faith. When I got divorced, I did not feel welcome in the Catholic Church at all. Hmm. Some of that was unspoken and some of it was spoken. And I really felt abandoned by that. And it was also about the same time that the tragedy of priests molesting children was mm-hmm. going on. And I felt like those priests were a little bit more welcome in the church than the welcoming I was feeling. Mm. And so that just left a very bad and, you know, taste in my mouth. So mm-hmm. for a while, I just stayed away. And then I thought, no, I need to get back into the faith. And I started visiting other churches. And when I did that and finally landing here at Schweitzer, I really felt like my personal relationship with God increased tremendously. And it was, you know, it was always there. And I always felt like I was seeking more. But once I made that decision to start looking at other faith communities and really kind of working on that personal relationship with God, I just had so much growth. It's even hard to describe. So much growth, so much more, vibrant prayer life, a more daily prayer life. Mm-hmm. I kind of say this jokingly, but Catholics don't deal with the Bible a lot. If you go in a Catholic church, they have specific readings that they go through on a 3-year cycle. Mm-hmm. So, just discovering scripture was such a wonderful experience, and what a treasure that I really don't think I would have known otherwise, not to the extent that I do now. Mm. And it's still a learning experience.
Yeah.
So my father's words for me were that, I'm sorry you're not going to be a Catholic, but wherever you are, be a good, you know, active person in your community. So.
The beautiful thoughts from your dad.
From an old Notre Dame guy, that was probably big. So.
So, one final question about your past, and then we'll ask a little bit more stuff about your present and future. Between your two parents, and maybe this is a hard question to pose, which of your two parents do you think you carry more of and why?
Well, that is, it's a good question. And I think that I haven't spoken much about my mom. She was a wonderful, strong person, dearly loved. And one thing I wish is I could, I'm 64, that I could have coffee with my 64-year-old mom. You know, I think she'd have so much wisdom to share. I carry a lot from my mom. I love to cook. She taught me all of that. She was a very, I think I carry a lot from her. And she was a very graceful woman and very well-loved, and I hope I can carry that from her. My father, I certainly carry things that he passed on to me. He's the one who got me started with numbers and analyzing things. My father and I had a currency exchange business when we lived in Japan, and he was the bank, and I was trying to make money off of that. But with all of our parents, I think there are some things that you observe and you think, I love them, but I'm not really sure I really love that trait. So I want to be able to take the best of both of them. My mother was, you know, had a lot of tenacity, a very loving person, had a lot of friends. And so I want to take what I treasure from both of them.
That is, that's great wisdom for you and for all of us listening to you. So about your present and the future, what are you working on? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I retired a year and a half ago. Finally, the second time it took. So I've enjoyed that. I was diagnosed with ALS this summer. So that was not in my retirement plan. And as Daryl and I laugh, it was like we thought we'd spend more time together in retirement. We had no idea it was going to be like this. So in a sense, that has changed things. And in a sense, things have remained the same. So there were a lot of things I used to do. If you knew me in 2017, 18, I ran half marathons. The mountains are where my heart really lies. And with my family, we spend time skiing together, hiking together in Colorado and enjoying all of that, paddleboarding. And so a lot of that is gone right now. So what I spend my time doing now, many of the same things we used to do. Daryl and I have a pretty leisurely morning. He often reads first. We talk about our day, talk about some devotionals, have coffee. I have had the opportunity to really, over the last 3 or 4 years, focus on friendships. And I think we talked about a little bit, what was it like when you were working? It took every bit of energy I had to keep my kids in house going. And I often prayed after they left for deep friendships, particularly with women. Mm-hmm. And I've had the opportunity to be blessed with so many of those friendships. And I want to be and try to be very intentional about fostering and growing those friendships. So I do that. Now I spend time. Some of my friends many of them are great about coming over to our house. Still go out to coffee, go out to lunch, try to get out of the house. We're traveling. We do it a little bit differently. I went car hiking for the first time to see the Aspen. If you haven't done car hiking, you can really cover a lot of ground. So, you know, and honestly, just dealing with ALS and learning about it takes time. And it's not a common disease, so I don't have a friend I can call up who dealt with this. And so learning about that and just the modifications that need to be made in your life have taken time. And I will say that with my diagnosis that it's hard, it's devastating, and it's just some days are just frustrating because of the things you can't do. But there is so much joy. When I look back at the blessings I have in my life, and I feel like God has really helped every step of the way, because I could not deal with this without my faith, without God. And God has given me what I need today to get through this. And so I say there's the ALS self-pity parking lot. No overnight parking allowed. So I can go there. I need to go there. It's healthy to go there because it's reality. But if you go there, you stay and you miss out on all these other joys of life that maybe at one time seem kind of small. And I tell Daryl that every day I can find something to be grateful for. And I think it's really important that we voice that gratitude. Not that we just say, I'm so grateful, but that, hey, Jason, mm-hmm. do you know what happened today? You know? So that's kind of where I am now. Things are different. Still connecting with family a lot. And that has been great, connecting with friends. And Daryl has the brunt of the housework now, so we've learned to do things a little differently. But, you know, it's just where we are right now. We can't change it. And you can't put your head in the covers and hope it doesn't go away. So it's life's a little different, but, you know, so much of it's the same.
Is there anything that you want to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
I think that I try not to give advice unless people ask for it. I don't always do that well, as my children will tell you. But I think that kindness is so important right now. Kindness and loving people, and not just to your family, but to your whatever your community looks like, especially this time of year as Christmas is approaching, whoever's helping in the service industry, just to be kind to people, and the words we use matter. And I want people to think about that and focus on that and look for that gratitude in life. Look for those blessings that God has given you. I mean, there have been so many that God teed up for me to where I am right now. And look for those and don't just recognize them, but don't overlook them, but share them with others. And that would be my advice for someone if they are, where we are.
Right. Mary, it's been a great delight to have you share with us today. And so much wisdom that comes from you in these moments. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about working alongside of you, is that you're a fount of wisdom. And you've lived it. You've expressed it, and it's a joy to be with you.
Thanks, Jason. I've always enjoyed working with you. I was a little reluctant to do this because I'm not one that talks a lot, but I've enjoyed our time.
I have too. generally, I ask a final question, like, what's a final word or sage piece of advice? I think you've given that. So I'll ask another couple questions. These are just really fast. Like, what's your favorite place in the world?
Colorado. It's where my heart is. I feel so, just full of life, full of happiness when I'm in the mountains.
What's your favorite sport?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I enjoy watching football. My son works in soccer, so I still follow soccer. If I were participating in a sport, I'm going to go with hiking.
I thought you might say volleyball, but that's probably an inside joke.
I was never good at volleyball, Jason. Did you know that?
No.
Well, never really good. I couldn't keep my feet under me.
Oh, well.
All right. What's the third one?
We'll leave that for another day. And a favorite movie.
Oh, that's a hard one. That is a hard one. I don't really go to movies that often. So, boy, I'm really going to have to punt on that one.
Okay. You can punt.
Okay.
Well, you got a favorite book instead?
I have a favorite book. I'll tell you the book I'm reading right now. Yeah. Going back to my Catholic culture, Joan Chittister, who is a nun.
Yes.
I just came across two copies of a book, shared one with a friend on Ten Commandments. So I love reading Joan Chittister. That's what I'm reading right now.
She's a fantastic author.
She is a great author.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about favorite food. I love international foods. Indian food is one of my favorites.
All right. Well, thank you, Mary. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. Well, a big thank you to Mary for sharing her story. In listening to Mary, I hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and challenged, and that you begin to behold the really cool people who are around you. The Really Cool People podcast is produced by Schweitzer Church, Springfield, Missouri. Taylor Likes is our executive producer and editor, and I'm your host, Jason Lanier. You can help us by liking, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time.